Thank you. Yeah, so I gave a draft of this, I think about 5 weeks ago. And I've been working two jobs recently. And I kind of think there's an argument here which is slightly different to the argument I was making at the time, but I don't necessarily think it's fully formulated yet. So I think that's what I want to say. So, I mean, I think the thing is that K-pop at the moment is on like the crest of a wave, even with BTS going to all be in hiatus by the end of this year. It hasn't dented the K-pop market, especially in the West. And so, but to me, it's there's another problematic trend that you have that on one side, and then you have the other side, which is more and more English albums, and less Korean in Korean albums. So, and I kind of think this is part of the same thing. And so my kind of thoughts initially for this was having watched The Idol, which I thought at first, because I didn't really read anything about it, was going to be like about a K-pop idol, but it wasn't. But casting Jennie from Blackpink in it, I think, was a deliberate strategy on behalf of the producers and The Weeknd, who was responsible for the kind of reworking, re-editing of it. And then immediately after, Travis Scott released a song called K-pop, and The Weeknd was on that song as well. So I don't think any of that was coincidental. On the other side of things, that the audiences were quite resistant to watching The Idol. And generally with, K-pop idols, whether something bad or good doesn't really make much of a difference. But people turned off from The Idol. So I think there was kind of marketing strategy there that didn't do what they wanted it to do. And even with K-pop, even though the kind of song was moderately successful, it generated discussion, but it wasn't that successful. So those kind of my thoughts when doing this. And so this kind of stuff you all know, so I really don't need to do much of this. So I mean, I think it's enough that we agree from the beginning that K-pop is a hybrid form, and that there's no pure thing called K-pop. Now, the fact that there's no pure thing called K-pop doesn't mean that there shouldn't be anything called K-pop, which I think is something perhaps we're moving towards, which I find very problematic. But yeah, so. And for this, I was reading an article by Osmar, and he's talking about Ghanaian hip hop. So he's not talking about Korean, he's talking about Ghanaian hip hop. But I thought it was really interesting how he's talking about the way that Western telecommunications companies were trying to connect with the youth through the use of hip hop stars, young hip hop stars. And they were selling them kind of products that the fans of these stars just couldn't afford. So there was a kind of utilization of an indigenous musical form in order in the service of like corporate capitalism. And so and he talks about that as part of sort of neo-colonialism. So it's not direct colonial rule, but it kind of works in a different way. So, and I thought what he said, even though it's kind of like a different context, actually helps to understand what's kind of going on. And I think what's kind of going on has kind of increased since I originally wrote the abstract for this. So just a bit of background. The Idol was five episodes. It premiered at Cannes, but most of the discussion wasn't about what the program was about or who was starring it, but it was about Jennie from Blackpink, and she was used as a marketing device to get a lot of social media attention and a lot of conversations about the program. And she did. I mean, there's little doubt that that in itself worked, but it kind of backfired as well. So these are kind of some of the reactions. So partly what I wanted to think about was how the reaction and the resistance of audiences to what's happening at the moment. And I think there is a resistance. And how far that resistance goes is another thing. But yeah, like Jenny, she was only in for about 15 minutes, 15 minutes, if that. And then somebody else talking about how awful it was that everybody at Cannes clapped because they were so grateful it was over. So you can see here that most popular series in terms of engagement, but if you look at the viewing figures go down. So viewing figures do not match the social engagement at all. In terms of like reviews of the series, on Rotten Tomatoes, you can expect critically it to be quite low, which it is. But for something, for like a group like Blackpink that has so many fans, the actual fan score's fairly low as well, which is kind of unusual. So I think even some fans were totally into this. The way in which Jenny was portrayed. And again, I think one of the things I think through tonight when I ran through this a couple of times is that I do think there's something else here, but I need to think it through better. So I'm going to go to this page and then back to the next page. I realise they're in the wrong order. It seemed to me, and I suppose you could argue that Blackpink, the name Blackpink is, like empowered and like school, kind of oppositions. But it seemed to me that the way in which Jennie was marketed, in which a lot of K-pop female groups are marketed, is in terms of these very pervasive stereotypes. So, like the dragon lady or the lotus blossom, the sort of passive and the dangerous and inciting. And then if we look at Jennie in like in the marketing, so this is Jenny before the series premiered, and this is Jenny in the series. So it seemed to me, and when I think about it again, there's ways in which it's like exoticization, fetishization of this kind of East Asianness, if you like. And I think that although kind of Jenny's kind of discussion of it was she saw it as a chance to play like this really empowering role. It's not, and she turns out not to be a nice person. So I think it's still very stereotypical. It's not kind of that she had no character, there was no depth to the character. So it was just a kind of, in a program that was really problematic, it was a part of the program which I thought drew on discourses of Orientalism, and I think that's what we're seeing in some of this. And I think that's why we can't celebrate, that Korean culture is becoming more globalized. And I think it's the way in which this is happening that's very problematic. Okay, and so we see this, and this was again what I was thinking tonight. We see this again in K-pop, the song with Travis, Ava, and Benito, and this was kind of as soon as the program finished. And so K-pop, so the term K-pop is a reference to ketamine lollipops. So, and reference to drugs and rap is just one of those things. But it's kind of you kind of look at it in those kind of two lines, when she called me Papi, even though she's Korean. So it seems to me here there's that continually eroticization a fetishization of Korean women in particular. And I think the same thing happened in 3D with Jack Harlow's Rat, but he says something quite similar. And so I think it's kind of like this feminization of K-pop, if you like. So you get mastery over it. So, and I think there's a complicated argument there that I'm probably not making at the moment. So the other kind of case in point is the Dream Academy, which has just finished. And I think in the final girl group, there are three from USA, one from Switzerland, one from Philippines, and one from South Korea. I mean, there was a risk with this that there was going to be nobody from South Korea in the final group. And the way it was discussed was really interesting. And so I think, HYBE is complicit in this. I think you can extract HYBE from what's kind of happening with some of this. And so the idea that these girls trained for a year in Los Angeles with a K-pop methodology, what's that when it's at home? I mean, it's certainly not what idols have to go through in Korea to be idols. I mean, I kind of think that wouldn't kind of wash. But this idea that you can kind of take this and apply it to something else, and I mean, I presume songs are going to be in English. And I just don't, I have, I mean, the group are about to debut, so we'll have to see how they do, because then you have like you have this group that you can listen to. You have an alternative, and will that kind of alternative impact on, groups like Twice, who are really popular, and I think Blackpink less so, but I have concerns about this. So kind of Oshma at the kind of end of his article talks about global hip hop as a kind of complex, as a complicated, I think, intersection of hegemony and localness. And I think it's kind of losing any kind of rebelliousness that perhaps it ever had through this kind of process of assimilation into the West. I suppose, and this is kind of an aside. So if there's a lot of really negative things, then I thought that this kind of release was a really positive thing, that you have Indigenous Australian, you have a black rapper from the UK, and you have South Korean pop idol. So this is, to me, this kind of collaboration is perhaps what global music or global pop music can be. But I think on the other side of things, this global pop music is becoming just non-distinguishable, if I could say that. So David Tizard wrote this. And kind of his argument's different to what I'm arguing. And so he's arguing that when the K disappears, that Korean culture will eventually have come. So that Korean dramas are just dramas, Korean beauty is just beauty, Korean food's just food, and Korean culture is just culture. And of course, as part of that, K-pop is just pop. And although I kind of understand what he's saying, I think the reason that a lot of people I knew got into like Korean dramas and K-pop, not so much Korean film, because I think that's separate, that's different in a way, was because of its difference, because they were interested, because they wanted to learn something. And so I don't know if you're getting into K-pop these days, when you have Blackpink releasing an album that's that's not considered to be a world album. It's considered to be an English language album, even though all the songs are English, but the English is the majority language on it. That you're having that we're in a very different position that we were in like 2017 when it was all really exciting and groups were refusing to sing in English, and now we've got the opposite, I think. I mean, V did an English album. Don't get me wrong, I loved it. But I don't quite understand the reason for it. I mean, I just don't. I can kind of understand with Jungkook, but I can't really understand with V, but that was his decision. But yeah, I mean, we're kind of seeing more and more of this, and you know, Twice become bigger in the West when they release an English language single. So I think and when Osmo talks about like commodification and the spectacle in relation to DeVore's work, and I think K-pop is some sort of spectacle. I think there's a way in which it is fetishized in the West, and a way in which is the other work I'm doing, in that it's only seen to be valuable through the West. It's not seen valuable in terms of Asia, in terms of Brazil, in terms of other places it's popular. And I suppose, I mean, is there a sense of this notion of self-orientalism where you're turning into what you think is wanted? And I think the problem with that is that I don't know if K-pop becomes just pop if it can compete, because because there's enough pop. I think this is the issue. And so I don't really think so I have this kind of issue with it. And I do think, but I suppose I want to conclude by I say I do think audiences are resisting to this. And I know from like talks on social media that people are not happy with Blackpink's album being mainly in English. And the only good thing that the fans saw from it was that perhaps Blackpink would do better at award show. Long bit good. So I think we're at a crux now. I don't know what's going to happen. Will the K disappear? I'm not really very sure. Will the audiences keep on resisting this, or will all K-pop brands be releasing Western albums? So, yeah, so that's it. That's my thoughts on this.